the dark, I fed my dreams. Permaculture flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, P-I-L-P, I'm the king. Planting love in everything. Bringing change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 478 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes.
Permaculture PIMP with soulful grace in the PIMPcast where we find a place.
Well, happy Monday. Man, it seems like forever and a day that since William and I did a podcast together. Well, anyway, this episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. Barbara O'Neill is going to be our top headliner, but every last one of those people in there can absolutely, positively handle a show all by themselves. So, yeah, definitely be there. B-Square TPC will get you 5% off. Go check it out. Remember, that's going to be in Harmony, North Carolina. And if you want to see it online, we got that option as well. Also, MyRedLight.com, BB25 will get you 25% on single items, and then BB30 will get you 30% on bundled items. Folks, this is the time to strike. I mean, it's kind of hard to get 30% off of anything these days, especially with shrinkflation, stagflation, inflation, all the flations kicking out there. So you better get loose or get lost. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. We're burning up over here in this part of Texas. How about you guys?
Yeah, we're under that heat dome as well. Ain't that funny? You know, Dane Wigington, my buddy, he's been talking a whole lot about this manufactured heat dome, which is exactly what it is. Man, we've had some weird stuff as a result of it. I mean, the other day, your mom, I think, in fact, I'm reasonably sure of it, that they were going crazy with the electronic pollution out there. Yeah. Because they had your mom in a really bad way the other day. And even me to a certain extent. In fact, son, even the animals were misbehaving and doing things. Usually Milk Boy, for those that don't know, he's my livestock guardian dog. This time of year, all he does during the day is pant under the porch. That's all he does. But he was exhibiting behavior that is not at all in keeping with a Great Pyrenees, especially one his size. I'm leaving. And he follows me down the road all the way down to the nearest neighbor about a quarter of a mile away. What? And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't do that sort of thing. And then we had our other dog. She was sickly and throwing up all over the place. And even the animals out in the pasture, I mean, everything was acting lethargic and like something wasn't right. And that went on for at least 3 solid days. So I know that they were doing something out there. But honestly, it was affecting your mom and me. Right now, it seems like we're back on even ground, but man, they are definitely doing a whole lot of nasty stuff out there. I thank God we got that DPE or both of them out there because it's hindering a lot. I mean, I don't know how, with all the mitigation strategies your mom and I have here, I feel so badly for the people around here that don't have them. Yeah. Because they are definitely getting irradiated in the worst kind of way. Man, my heart goes out for a lot of these old folks. So I imagine, son, you guys are feeling the same sort of thing there, too. This is not at all. Yeah, people are going to say it's summer, it's hot. No, that's not what's going on here, y'all. When you go into the sun, you're being cooked from the inside out. That's exactly how it feels.
It's, in fact, this heat this summer around here in this part of Texas is actually waking people up, I've noticed. There's a guy I was having a conversation with at jiu-jitsu. He's a cop over at Red River. And he was talking about, like, this being the hottest summer he's ever felt. He's worked there for 16 years, and this is the hottest summer he's ever felt. It's insane. It feels exactly fire, Drake. It feels like we're being microwaved. Like, and then also the reporting of the actual weather itself and the actual temperatures and things like that, those are being tampered with as well. Like, the thermostats that we have here at the house are always reading something completely different than what the Weather Channel's advertising. And what I've noticed, the pattern that I've noticed recently with the Weather Channel app is that a couple of days ahead of, let's say, Wednesday, for example, a couple of days ahead of Wednesday, it'll say it'll be like 103. And as we get closer to Wednesday, it'll lower the temperature back to like 95 or something like that. But if you look at the thermostat at your house, the temperature is about 103. It's crazy. They're tampering with it. They're messing with it and things like that. And I understand that they're not taking the temperature from my exact location, but there shouldn't be an 8-degree difference, general 8-degree difference between where they're recording, which isn't far from me, and like the general area around my house. There shouldn't be like an 8-degree difference. It's not like I'm taking temperature at a microclimate or they're taking temperature at a microclimate. So yeah, they're screwing with this, y'all, if you didn't notice. You there, Dad? Oh, Dad is frozen. Oh, dang. All right. So it might just be me on this end of the podcast. All right. It's just me on this podcast right now. So I'll go ahead and get in the farm news until Dad pops back up. I'm sure he's going to have to log out, get back in, and things like that. And the electronic tampering. There's that as well. That's going on at the same doggone time. So, yeah, part of my farm news was talking about the heat today. The weather app is just way off. They're screwing with everything as far as the weather app goes. And then also with the rain predictions lately as well. Like, they'll do the same thing that I just described with the temperature. They'll do the same thing with the weather. So they'll forecast like, oh, here in a couple of days, you guys are going to get rain. Come up to that point, no rain. And they just keep pushing it back. It's like they're doing the stick and the carrot on a donkey. They have like this carrot called rain out ahead of us so we can keep getting excited about the rain, and then it just never happens. So yeah, there's that. Other farm news, I almost got ran off the road today. I was headed back from town, had to run some errands and stuff like that. I was headed back to town, and then there's this road from like New Boston to where I live that goes back and forth between a 2-lane highway to a 3-lane highway. So each side will alternate of like who's getting on to the or who's has the passing lane and who doesn't have a passing lane. So today I was headed back. And once I hit this one point where that 3-lane highway kind of starts, I noticed that there was this huge wood mulch truck in front of me, like this huge mulch semi in front of me, and they blow debris all over the highway. So I was like, all right, we're at the 2-lane section. The 2-lane section just began. I have the passing lane. I'm going to get way ahead of this dude because they just blow mulch all over the highway. And in front of that mulch truck, there was also a logging truck, which had like a whole load full of logs. So at the same time of passing the mulch truck, I just passed both trucks. And then all of a sudden, I think that logging truck took that as like an offense. Because from that point on, all the way till I almost got home, the logging truck was trying to like run me, literally run me off the road. The dude could not have gotten any closer to my bumper or anything like that.
Turned yourself to this.
Oh, there we go. Had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, can you hear me, son? I can't hear anything through these
headphones. The audio needs to come through the Rodecaster. Hey, if you guys want to remove yourself and come back in whenever you're good.
No, we're good now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, son, we had a little crazy phenomenon happen right when you were talking about the weather down there. All of a sudden, we had a power glitch just go off for a second, enough to break things up, and then all of a sudden comes back on. Of course, huh? Anybody that thinks this is an accident, I got news for you. I mean, I have conversations. I was talking to Todd Pittner earlier. He's the co-host of Decentralized TV.
Hold on, Dad. let me just finish the story I was on real quick before you get into that.
Sorry, son. I have no idea what happened.
I get it. I continued on with farm news until you got back into all I was telling him was that I almost got ran off the road today by one of those logging trucks. The guy, I passed him in this one big mulch semi truck. They were blowing mulch all over the road. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and pass them. This was on between New Boston and where I live, on that 3-lane highway where it alternates from 2 lanes on this side, 2 lanes on this side. Anyway, I passed this one logging truck, and the logging truck multiple times was trying to like run me off the road. It wasn't until like I finally got away from the situation where I was finally thinking about calling the cops. But believe me, doing other things came first. It was so bad. Doing other things came first to mind than calling the cops in the moment of like, oh, this might be a situation like I have to handle now or something. But it was weird. Anyway, I survived it. Didn't get run off the road. It got really close. Tried to sideswipe me a few times, too. But we made it. On to you, Dad. What happened on your end?
Well, son, I think that's also time for you to get out of Texas, honestly. I've never seen – I remember our insurance tripled when we moved from Kansas to Texas. Couldn't figure out why. Well, it took me about a day or two before I did figure out why. And I remember working with idiots, and they are idiots, that bragged about the fact of how many wrecks they've been in. I was like, you brag about this? They would honestly – I would work with these complete – morons. And I mean, I thought Missouri had bad drivers, but man, Texas is by far the worst. There ain't even a close second, I don't think. When you're working with idiots bragging about the fact that, oh, I've been in this wreck, I'm like, are you kidding me? And you know, that's why the insurance is through the roof there. You got to get out of that place, man. I've never seen more people just dumb drivers in my life than what I've seen in Texas.
Insurance, that part, you got to be specific when you're telling people that, because not only is it triple, but liability is triple what full coverage is in other places. It's not like liability is triple of liability. No, liability here in this part of Texas is triple what full coverage is in other locations. And I've noticed the bad driving is, from what I've noticed, west of Dallas, I haven't really noticed bad drivers. They seem to be pretty squared away. East of Dallas, it's insane.
Yeah, it is. And in Dallas itself, I mean, the thing that gets me, if you drive through Dallas, and I have many, 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 many times, you'll find out that all the illegals are driving like absolute lunatics, and they're telling me you can't find them. You don't know how to pick them up. You don't have to have ICE go to a job site, man. You can just wait on the side of the road. Don't worry. They'll be driving on the shoulder to pass you. So it's crazy. But anyway, son, when you started talking about the weather, all of a sudden that glitch just happens. There is no rainstorm, no nothing. It just went off long enough, I guess, for the powers it shouldn't be to let us know, hey, don't talk about that. So just keep that in mind. You may wind up having to do this thing all by your lonesome if I keep that up.
Well, until we get into the main topic, we're both getting shut down.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I'm to the point where I no longer care. I really don't. I mean, I've seen behavior now in this country that has me convinced that if we don't make a change really, really quick, I mean, there's videos on X right now, soldiers, active duty officers. There's one I just saw today briefly of a warrant officer saying, hey, we got to overthrow this government. It's gotten that bad. But good luck getting 90% of it. Now, I'm not talking about all boomers. There is about, in fact, John B. Wells, who has the show Caravan to Midnight, who, by the way, has been, you know, apparently putting out overtures to want to interview a permaculture pimp daddy someday. Anyway, John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight, he laments the fact that he's part of that generation. He's like, dude, there's 10% of us that at the most that might be awake. Everybody else is like, just spend up all my money until I die. I don't care what my kids or grandkids get. You know, it's just, hey, we're just willing to cash in. Don't mean to beat up on boomers, but even the boomers here that are listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're awake and you lament the generation that you're part of. And honestly, as Generation X, I see the very same thing. I know everybody picks on the boomers, but where the boomers just won't see it at all, the ones in Generation X, they see it and they don't care.
Yeah.
And I think that's worse. My generation, I'll talk to the people, you know, in my generation, and it's like, yeah, I see it, but I don't care. I can't do anything about it. So for them, it's a means to acquiesce and just not care. Anyway, I'll jump onto my farm news. You know, got weed eating to do right after this. Man, we got pears, son. People don't realize it, but apples and pears, they picked them about a year before you see them in the grocery store. They were picked, ones you're eating, they were picked last year. You have not tasted a pear ever in your life. When you can bite into a pear and you smell aroma from it, you ain't doing that in the store.
Or even before you bite into it.
Yes. Yes. You can smell the pear. You can smell the apples. Your mom ate one of the apples today that came off. I mean, yeah, it's hot as all get out. But yeah, we do have, this is why you have early, mid, and late of everything. So your mom picked up an apple today and, you know, bit into it. Wasn't my favorite cultivar. But then again, it wasn't an Evercrisp either, because that is my favorite.
Ludacrisp.
Ludacrisp, honestly, is even better. It just doesn't keep as long, I don't think. But that Ludacrisp apple, man, is like somebody, you know, shot it up with sugar or something. But, Yeah, we were a couple of months away from that. Other thing, I was talking to Todd Pittner, and he was telling me about the weather down in Florida. We were talking about these DPE devices and how he's like, man, I'm not even watering my food forest, and this thing is absolutely positively blowing up. And he said, well, I'm guessing you guys are in drought up there in North Carolina too. I'm like, no, actually, Todd, we have been getting rain every single day for the last month. Every single day. And then, of course, you know, they're doing their stuff and all the other things that go along with it. But, yeah. Yeah, this heat dome anxiety is everywhere. And sure enough, I mean, it seems like almost nobody seems to care about any of this stuff. Anyway, folks, I want to remind you, because this is one of the things I'm going to try to do it weekly. If you've made compost, you want to be watering that stuff. You want to keep it moist. You don't want it going dormant. Because then if you let it get too dry, all your nematodes, your beneficial nematodes that are in there, they're going south. All your other microbes are going to go in the cyst, or, you know, they're going to go to a cyst. And then when you do get around to watering it again, well, you're right back at square one if you don't keep that stuff moist. And nobody ever really tells you about that. That's another reason why you can't trust that stuff in a bag. And then finally, the last thing I'm going to say regarding farm news, I'm back to doing a lot of farm short videos because I can manage that right now. And son, I kid you not, we must be definitely on to something, because every video I put up, like my front porch talk, minus 10. We put up a short, minus 10. They've unsubscribed 1,000 people, I think, over the last month. I think I talked about that last time. Every time I put up a video, no matter what, the engagement will be good. But you're telling me 10 people just all of a sudden said, oh, we're going to unsubscribe. So, folks, they're playing games all the way around in these platforms. I guess we were at 180,000 and they dropped us. I don't know. We may be down to 178 now. I don't even know, because every single video we put up, regardless of the nature of it, minus 10. So that's what they're doing out there. Apparently, they don't want this information getting out. And now that I've been going back to my roots and doing more videos, and I'm going to start doing a lot more of how you can feed yourself for free. If you're not subscribed, I just gave you the reasons why, because I think the powers that shouldn't be, I know at this point. I did an interview with Dr. Merritt yesterday, Dr. Lee Merritt. She's going to be at the Sovereign Health Summit. And when you talk to her, she's unbelievably smart. She says, I asked her point blank in the interview. I said, so is this a depopulation agenda? She said, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. So the last thing they want anybody out there talking about is going to be, how to feed yourself for free. Well, hopefully the news will get out there, because apparently I'm going to be interviewed by Mike Adams on Thursday.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'll be on with Mike and Todd on Thursday. I'm not sure when it's going to air, but at least the information is going to start getting out there in bigger places. And that's exactly, I'm going right back to my roots. I'm going to start talking less about political stuff, because honestly, nobody's listening anyway. And I'm going to start talking more about how everybody in the sound of my voice can be feeding themselves for absolutely free. I'm going to knock the dust off the chicken tractor on steroids. I'm going to get another batch of pigs. And I'm going to show everybody from start to finish how you can do all this and make money in the process if that's what you want to do. So, stay tuned for that. Son, let me kick it on over to you.
The only thing left I had on my farm news was I have some moringa trees that are out there that are taller than me. And keep in mind, those are only like 4 to 5 months old at most. And they started from seed earlier this year. They're taller than me now. And I haven't been watering them. And it's insanely hot out, and you would never even know if you looked at the moringa. If you look at anything else that's growing outside, you'll notice that it's been extremely hot out. But the moringa, they're blowing up. They're doing perfectly fine. And then started taking copper, and then also this Dr. Artis biodefense stuff. I will say, this is the biodefense stuff right here. Dad.
Don't put it directly in your mouth. You want to put that in the capsule.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad. Yeah, exactly, Dad. Right, you don't want to put it. You don't want to put it in your mouth. I started doing this watching Dad, doing all these dropper fulls in his mouth and foreign protein cleanse and all that type of stuff, and as droppers directly in his mouth. And I'm thinking, oh man, I guess we just got to suffer through this taste and suffer through this numbness in your mouth as well. Apparently, Dr. Artis recommends. Is that why you sent me the video? So he could tell me that you got to put it in a capsule.
Well, I didn't even know. Here's the funny part about it. When I first started taking it, I did the very same thing. I was like, man, I can't taste anything. I was like, I couldn't taste anything for a solid hour. So yeah. I read the instructions in better detail, and it says to put them in a capsule, which I did. I already got 00 capsules around here. It says highly recommended to put it in the capsule. So I started doing that. So yeah, you found out the hard way.
Yeah. Like, so if anybody's taking the BioDefense or the Dr. Group's foreign protein cleanse or any of that stuff, put it in a capsule. Don't just take this. What?
No, the foreign protein cleanse, you're fine with that. It's this BioDefense. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you definitely want to put that in a capsule.
Look, y'all, take my recommendation. Put them both in a capsule. The foreign protein cleanse is a very intense and harsh flavor. Yeah, it won't make your mouth numb, but it's an intense flavor. Put that in a capsule, too. Anyway, well, I just wanted to give that PSA first.
Well, if you don't have, if you don't mind the taste of black licorice or anise or something like that, yeah, it won't bother you so much. But yeah, I just suck it up and drive on. But that other one, bro, you have got to put that stuff in the capsule. So I guess you found out the same. It didn't occur to me to reach out to you and say, oh, by the way.
Yeah. So I see this part in Dr. Artis's video. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a whole lot easier now. So yeah. PSA for everybody.
Yeah, there's some other stuff you might want to take along with it, son. But yeah, good night, man. There's so many. And folks, every time I go out at this point, because now they've come out with this latest jab, every time I go out, I make absolutely sure I'm taking that foreign protein cleanse. I mean, your mom and I both. I mean, before and after, anytime we have to leave. Because, I mean, the Jeremy people around here, man, they are lining up. What kills me, they wouldn't take a GMO to save their lives. But they're the first ones lining up to get this jab, and they don't have a clue what's in it. I don't even know what planet I'm on anymore, man. I really don't.
That group not too long ago was occupying Wall Street. Now they're like, govern me harder.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So stay alert, stay alive, folks. All right, y'all, Nessus Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I use that stuff every night before I go to bed, and it's the only CBDA out there that Mike Adams recommends. So, you know, I definitely wanted to check it out, and that stuff definitely moves the needle. So I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Also, Mike Chronic Silver. My voice might sound a little congested right now, and that's exactly my go-to. Your mom was laid up, maybe a week ago, and I think I'm not having it nearly as bad as her because I am using the Micronic Silver. I mean, I'm using the nose spray. I'm using the stuff in the back of my throat every possible way I can. I'm pretty sure that I went to town on Saturday. I got a dose of something falling from the sky or whatever, because apparently there's a number of other people out here dealing with the similar thing. So just having to tough up through it, man. I was up since 3 a.m. Your mom hit me because apparently I was snoring, which I no longer do. And I was like, what is going on? And I could felt the uvula in the back of my mouth. It was swollen. So I got out there, did what you're supposed to do, gargle some legit salt water, and started gargling with some Micronic Silver. But anyway, y'all, I use that stuff like it's going out of style, especially when something's coming on. 10% off with promo code PERMA. And then finally, Soil Saviors. Look, if you need any of it, just check it out in the description box. I stand by it. I use it. Look, folks, I'm not telling you about stuff I don't personally use. I use a lot of this good stuff. All right, so let's get into the good news section. All right. Heel lifts may reduce. Okay, this is good news. So I'm talking about some of this stuff for the people that are going to be doing any working out, which all of us to some extent should. Heel lifts may reduce lower back strain during squats, study finds. Now, they're just discovering something bodybuilders have known since I was a kid, that if you can, when you're doing squats, if you have any kind of pressure at all in your lower back, your knees, whatever, try this little hack. You can use a 2x4. You can use 10-pound plates. Anything that will lift your heel up a higher off the ground is going to take a lot of that strain off of you. Now, not everybody needs it, but if you are a person that does any deep knee bends or squats or anything like that, that is definitely going to help out. And like I said, that's not something new, but they had this article about it. So I figured I'd kind of extend it to people out there who you know, you don't have to be squatting with, you know, big, heavy weight or whatever the case may be. But if you do any kind of deep knee bends or anything like that, that would be a major, major help to you.
Also, on that note, if you guys are struggling with squats, also check out this one guy on YouTube. He's I think it's called Knees Over Toes or maybe Squat University or something like that. But he really, like, he focuses in on just proper form for a squat and overcoming some of a lot of the issues that people have with squats, whether it be their knees hurting or their back hurting or stuff like that. But I would highly recommend checking out his channel. He helped me with squats for sure.
Oh, definitely, man. I'm glad you threw that in there. Next one here, omega-3 supplementation associated with lower fasting insulin in diabetes meta-analysis shows. Look, I wanted to bring this one up because there is so much garbage in terms of the omega-3 brands out there. I would definitely check out Morley Robbins, go to his website, therootcauseprotocol.com, and he will turn you on to the best stuff out there. And I use the stuff he recommends, but also don't overlook the places where you can get them naturally because your body's going to recognize it even better. So I eat salmon. In fact, that's exactly what I'm going to eat right after this podcast. I eat salmon. I eat herring. William can eat all the sardines he wants, man. I am not a big fan of that. You can get it in walnuts. There's a lot of other natural sources out there. So when you're getting it, that omega-3, folks, I'm telling you, things that you thought were absolutely reliable are complete garbage. Remember that story we talked about with all the people claiming they're using avocado oil like Siete brand? I wrote them a little nasty gram. Out of all those companies, by the way, that responded, only one, to my knowledge, and that was Mark Sisson at Primal Kitchen that basically refuted the results. And he may be right. But all the rest of them out there, Siete, I hope you guys go out of business. I really do. I was supporting you guys for a long, long time. And you can't even respond. You can't even respond to the people out there that have been dutifully buying your products for all these years. They don't even respond. I mean, in fact, your mom was put out because of they apparently posted a video on Instagram of some sort of party they were at. But you don't address this thing regarding the avocado oil. You're supposed to be, you will go out of business and I will celebrate. I don't usually say things like that. But when you screw over your customers like you have and you can't even offer a rebuttal, I mean, as if to say, you know what, y'all, we misfired. There was some stuff going on in the factory. We lost sight of it. We are so sorry. We're going to make this right. If you did that, I would still be on board. If you would reliably respond, but zero response from them and everybody else, Primal Kitchen is the only one to respond. I think also these businesses realize that the American public is so snooky stupid that they can do stuff like this. I'm starting to wonder if this is one mass experiment. What do you think, son?
Yeah, and I still think there's a possibility. Like, man, I'm thinking the same thing, that they don't really even need to respond or pay attention to it because people are going to forget about it as soon as they see the next news headline. They're going to go back to the store and keep buying the same stuff they were buying before. I did see a tallow, like a beef tallow chip company come out recently. And then there's another one. It's in the gluten-free section like in a Pringles can. It's in the gluten-free section. They have literally like five ingredients in their Pringles style potato chips. That would be another one to potentially check out too, but it's like all allergen conscious and stuff like that. It's they only have a couple of different flavors. It seems like a pretty small, I think it's called Good Chip Company. Maybe check them out too. They seem to be pretty good. I think they're baked also.
You got to also watch out for the tallow people because I mean, I know there's one that Tucker Carlson and Redacted Podcast promote. And they might be legit. I don't know, but I gotta say, you're wanting $15 a bag for a 5 ounce bag. Ain't nobody buying that. I mean, nobody I know is buying it. I certainly won't. Like I told your mom, you know what? I got a whole lot of pork fat out there, or beef tallow, whatever the case may be. I'm going to get really good at making my own tortillas, my own chips. I mean, it's one more thing I'm just going to have to learn right here. But yeah, that really burns me up in a big, big way. I cannot stand being robbed as a consumer, especially when you know they are making, you know, buku money over this. Yes, Andrew D says Simple Meals is still a good brand. I'll have to check them out. I'll have to check them out. Thank you for the recommendation. But definitely Siete. I even told people about you guys on this podcast. So, folks, I'm so sorry for leading you astray on that. I mean, I told you it was the one I was using. Turns out, shoot, there's almost nothing in there. So I hope they go completely out of business. Yes, Andrew D says family owned. Yeah, so was Siete. And, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Yeah, Masa chips are ridiculously expensive. That was the one I was trying to talk about. Thank you, Andrea. Yeah, 5-ounce bag. I was in there looking, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me, man. I could rent a whole North Korean village for about a week for what they wanted for a shipment of these chips. I'm like, there ain't no way on earth they're getting that kind of money out of me. And all the people I know, they ain't got that kind of money either.
For chips.
5-ounce bag. Are you kidding me? A 5-ounce bag. Look, man, I know what this stuff costs, and I know you guys are raking it in, but you ain't getting it out of me. All right, so the last one here. Studies link dietary fiber to brain health and mood regulation. By the way, I got all these from naturalnews.com, folks. You really ought to check them out. There's a whole lot of good stuff over there. So Barbara O'Neill, who's going to be at the Sovereign Health Summit, she talks a lot about this, and this is why she recommends, you know, get your beans. And I had no idea until I read that. Well, I did hear it before, but I didn't know how bad people are fiber deficient. I mean, there are so many awesome, decent ways to get your fiber. Just eating one apple a day is enough to get all the fiber you need for most people. And I'm like, well, what are people eating that they're not eating real food, man? Because
you don't want to know.
I'm going to have the salad that your mom picked from the garden. What she didn't pick from the garden that we got from the farmer's market from farmers I know and trust. That's what I'm having for dinner. And there's going to be a ton of fiber in there too. Probably only, you know, cut up an avocado and throw that in there too for the fat. But I'm wondering, what are y'all eating when all you got to have is one apple a day to get, you know, even the nasty apples to get all the fiber you need. So folks, be thinking about that because your gut bacteria relies on it. You need that stuff in a bad and a big, big way. You got something to say about that one, son?
Well, even on like talking about beans, those are a good way to get fiber in that you can mix it. You can mix beans in with a lot of stuff. You can make pasta dishes and stuff like that, like make sauces out of the beans where you don't even know you're eating beans and you're still getting the bean content. You're getting the fiber and stuff like that. There's a lot of ways to hide the fiber and stuff like that. So now on that fiber note, isn't there like a warning against like Metamucil and stuff and using that?
The psyllium husks, I mean, it depends on whom you ask. Other people say it's good. I'm not sure. I'm just going to get it from a natural means. Like you were mentioning the beans. It's funny you mentioned that because once a week, I'll go ahead and get some dry beans that are absolutely organic from a place we trust. I'll get those dry beans and I will, you know, make those once a week. And a lot of them are local. And what you said, I honestly will take two spoonfuls of beans and put them in my salad, and I eat a salad pretty much every single day, at least for one meal, and that's exactly how I do it. I mean, I'll put that in there with everything else, and I'm like, okay, everybody in the gut's happy, bam, got it off and running. So for the people that don't tolerate beans, like Barbara O'Neill even says, you know, just start with, if you have to, if you're that intolerant, do what she did with her husband. Start with literally one bean, and then the next day, two beans, and then as your body starts to use it, and know how to use it. But there's people like your Uncle Dion, man. He's eating fast food for every meal. So maybe that's the kind of diet that a lot of folks are having out there. All right. Well, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider, and I'm going to get something to blow my nose.
Hey, Eric Sider here with a long overdue PimpCast tip of the day. And today's tip, are we all doing too much? Most everyone I know is going 1,000,000 miles per second, trying to keep themselves above water. It's just the financial reality of everything costing way more and the desperate need to try and fix all the broken things in this world, as well as prepare for what's eventually coming. Bill Salatin famously said, if it is worth doing, it's worth doing poorly at first. Well, I don't know about everyone else, but I can't seem to get around to doing anything a second time. And as a recovering perfectionist, it causes frustration to no end. I just look around at all the projects started but not finished, and it just makes you want to scream out loud. And we most certainly can't add anything else to our already overfilling plates, but of course we do, because there is just too much work to be done and not enough people taking things seriously enough to do it. I feel like people only want to get stuck in if it fits in within their schedule. Well, I guess when society finally collapses, we'll just have all the time in the world. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, your native permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of this pimp cast, a remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area that want to get stuck in, check out my permaculture community group at permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. I could hear it from where I, you know, I went over there to go get some toilet paper. But yeah, Amy says, Eric is looking over my shoulder. Oh my gosh. Hit the nail right on the head. Yeah, I think he does for a whole lot of people, and he does in so many different ways. He's wicked smart in so many incredible ways. And he's one of these unsung heroes out there that, you know, I just admire so much, and I'm so thankful to be able to call him friend. Yeah. He's the most selfless, one of the most selfless people I've ever met in my life. And he does so many things without any thought of reward. So I'm hoping it pays off for him one of these days, man, because he is truly a gem. Before we jump into it. Yeah. EMF rocks, y'all. You know me, I'm G'd up from the feet up, and that means grounded. So on that grounding mat, I also have one of those EMF rocks bags. And you can get 10% off with promo code PERMA. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. I even use that one in my pocket. I wear linen when I'm walking around here basically all day long, unless I have to. I wear nothing but these linen shorts. I got away from those shorts Jack Cruz was talking about because they're made out of plastic. So I started using natural fiber, and you don't get any more natural than linen. So I've been using that. And it has pockets on it, which I'm grateful for, because a lot of shorts like this don't have pockets anymore. Man, that drives me crazy. So anyway, I put one of those little bags in there, and I am off and running as long as I remember. So yeah, you want one of those? Go over to emfrocks.com. Sorry, y'all. I'm a little congested, so I'm a little bit off today. Sandra D says, what's Eric's name? His full name? Does he? Yeah, Eric Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R. He has a YouTube channel, but I'm not sure. I'm not so sure that he's been on top of it as of late, because he's wearing so many hats out there in Sacramento, getting a lot of stuff off the ground.
He also does that podcast with Jeff Lawton, though.
Yes, yes, definitely go check that out. I wonder if he links it to his channel. So
I would assume so. Eric's pretty squared away. I assume it's probably linked to his channel, but the name of his channel is his name, Eric S-E-I-D-E-R, Eric Sider.
Go check it out, especially for those of you that are looking for a scaled down version of a chicken tractor on steroids. I mean, he has been an awesome mentor to me and William both, and he's just a fantastic person. So, with a whole lot of wisdom. All right, y'all, we're going to go a little sideways today. We talk a lot about permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and prostitutes. But sometimes, usually when I go sideways, it's usually with a guest out there. But we don't often, I mean, so many people have asked us to do it, so we're like, okay, let's go ahead and give it a shot. This one is not one. William hit me up earlier today wondering, why don't we do this? I was a little unsure about it at the time because I'm like, I'm aware of this phenomenon, this whole thing with the noahide laurels, and, you know, a lot of people don't know about it and don't necessarily know the danger that's heading for every last one of us out there. And if you think it isn't a possibility, well, just look at Congress. Look at all your lawmakers in the state and at the federal level. Look where their money's coming from. Now, I'm just going to step back for a minute, let William do his thing, and I'll offer commentary where necessary.
Yeah, and yeah, anytime you want to say something about anything that I'm saying, Dad, just chime in. I've got a whole legal pad full of notes right here because there's a lot to pay attention to. And then also there's like, this isn't a complete, this isn't like a complete synopsis of the no hide laws. This is enough to get you aware of them and how they're going to negatively affect us in the future potentially. But there's so many different rabbit holes or rabbit trails you can follow when it comes to this exact topic right here. So it was first recognized by Congress in 1991 in the was it Education Day bill, where they were going to acknowledge Education Day. And it was all in remembrance of the it was all in reverence to Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, which was like a huge mover and shaker for the Jewish Chabad movement. Now, keep in mind, I don't speak Hebrew. I don't speak Yiddish. Chabad?
Chabad Lupovitz. Chabad Lupovitz. You know, the same thing that Trump's daughter and son-in-law belong to. Yeah, they were. They basically pray at the grave of this Rabbi Schneerson. Yeah.
Yeah, so this was all done in remembrance of that. Just now on that note, I was pronouncing all of this Chabad Ludvich. So sound it out, type it out, and then have the website say it back to you if you want to find out how to pronounce these things. You're going to be able to find out how to spell all of these because I'm going to be pronouncing it phonetically. So just sound it out and you'll spell exactly what I'm saying. So it was all in reverence to him, who was like a huge mover and shaker with the, I guess, the four different like sub religions of Judaism or so. Two of them being the Chabad Ludvich, whatever it's called. And then also the Kabbalistic Jewish mysticism as well. And according to everybody who would, was like around him at the time, they viewed him as like an open book. He knew all of this by heart and stuff like that. Not necessarily scripture, but the Talmud and the teachings of these different rabbis in these different topics. Now, keep in mind, some of his followers at the time were all claiming that this dude might be the Messiah. There were also other Jews that were like, hey, he ain't the Messiah. But then there were a lot of his followers, which was a large group of them, that all viewed him as like the Messiah. Keep in mind, this is like more of your Hasidic Jews, like the ones that like you look at him and you're like, that dude is Jewish. That's the kind of the category that he was in charge of, and his followers and stuff were doing. So that's what it, that's kind of where it started. It was acknowledged in 1991 in the bill, and their quote this was recognized by Congress in 1991 that established the Education Day and then called the seven Noahide laws the bedrock of civilized society since the dawn of time. Now, keep in mind, the seven Noahide laws only show up in the Talmud. They don't show up in scripture. They don't show up anywhere near, was it Genesis 9, where after the flood and talking about Noah and stuff like that. It's not shown in any of the apocryphal books or anything like that. It only pops up in the Talmud. Keep that in mind. The Talmud, if you're unfamiliar with it, it's an evil collection of books. They're all basically like rabbinical commentary on scripture and things at the time. There are very evil. I don't even recommend going to check out the books. There are just very, very evil things in that book. So yeah. And then, now whenever that was put on the books or whenever it was recognized by Congress, kind of like what Dad was saying, was like, you were aware of it, but it didn't really, like a lot of people weren't really sure how it was going to tie in or when it was going to be applied or anything like that. And now November this year, November 2nd through the 6th, they will have a Noahide International Congress. So all these like nations that came previously, and let me pull up the exact, I think it was 2019, the 70 nations all met up in Jerusalem, Israel, and they all did a Noahide covenant sacrifice. So they did sacrifice an animal. And 70 nations were there, and they all acknowledged these Noahide laws and stuff like that. So, and that was right before, that was in, I think, September 2019. So right before things really popped off. So what are they? They're seven, they call them the seven Noahide laws, which like Congress is saying, they're viewing these things as like the laws that are the bedrock of civilized society. Like, and on the face of it, they all look pretty, like benign for the most part. Like getting into it, like one of the laws talks about like not eating the flesh of an animal while the animal is still alive. I can understand that. Like don't cut the leg off of a cow and eat the leg while the rest of the cow is still alive. I think most people can get on board with that, especially people who eat meat, hunters and stuff like that. We can all get on board with that. Now, this is...
How easily misunderstood and bastardized could something like that become?
Oh, that law, yeah. A lot of things.
Also, yeah. Well, I guess you'll get to them, yeah. But I'm thinking...
So they're going to...
Go ahead, son.
All I was going to say is that there's a lot of these laws are vague enough to where it's open to interpretation, and they're going to establish these courts all the way from federal, like large scale courts, all the way down to like neighborhood courts, where they're going to instill basically judges. Who determines who these judges are? Good question.
But I also heard a while back that these laws only apply to the Gentiles.
Yes. And that's what we're getting into next, is that these laws only apply to the Gentiles. Numbers, which according to what they believe, that they claim to believe in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, according to them, there is Numbers 15:15 through 16, clearly states that there is one law, especially whenever, like the Jews were living, or the Israelites were, leaving, Egypt. There was one law for the ones that left, and also the ones that left with them, like a third of Egypt left with them. It was the same law for both of them. And it clearly states, like scripture clearly states, that there is not to be a law for you and for the stranger that lives amongst you. There is supposed to be one law. Here they're violating that statement in Numbers 15 by establishing a law for them. They already have their law. And then this Noahide law is just for the who they call the Goyim, or the nations around them. That's what this law is for. It's not for them at all. Two things you can that'll come into play a little bit later when we get into the laws. Two things Orthodox Jews hate: people saying Jesus or Yeshua is Messiah, and non-Jews studying Torah. That's two things that a lot of Orthodox Jews hate. Now, keep in mind that some of them will have they'll have an opinion on it, or they won't have an opinion on it. If they have an opinion on it, it's they hate it. And if they don't have an opinion on it, it's flat out indifference towards the person as a whole. Because Goyim, in the definitions of Goyim, you realize like, oh, these aren't even human. We're not viewed as human. We're viewed as chattel. We're viewed as property. We're viewed the same way you would view livestock. In fact, probably worse than the way some people view livestock. Definitely worse than the way mom views livestock, for sure. So yeah, it's not for them. It's for us. Some people are connecting this to Revelation 6 with the first seal being open and everything. I don't think it really ties into Revelation 6 just yet. I think Revelation 6 is in reference to, especially 6:1, 6:2, and 6:3. I think that's in reference to COVID that we just went through. That'll be a different topic for a different day. But let's get into what these laws actually are. On to the next one. So, and I can actually share the website for you. And keep in mind, all of this will be linked in the description down below, because these are the seven laws are possible to there. You can find the seven laws pretty easily, but the bylaws for each of the seven laws is what's difficult to find. So they will be, I will be sharing them on screen. So if you're listening, you can come check it out on video. If you're watching, you can watch it, but also you should be able to click the links down below and find the seven laws and then the bylaws for the seven laws. And I'll share it here on screen real quick. But let's go to the seven laws first and look at these. So are you able to see that, Dad?
Yeah, no, okay. I can't read it. I can see it, but I can't read it.
I can zoom in for you guys. Hopefully that's a little bit easier for you guys to read. So the first law is no G hyphen D. And this is what they're typing on their own website. It says no the knowledge of the one true God. I'm assuming that's what they mean by G hyphen D. I don't know why they're getting rid of the O, but that's the first law. Second law is respect God. Third law is respect life. Then respect marriage, respect property, respect animals, and preserve justice. So with just those statements right there, it doesn't seem to be anything extreme until we start getting into the bylaws of these, which I will share right now. Oh, my bad. I shared the wrong one. Let me go back and share these bylaws. There you go. Now, this is the part that is very, very, very hard to find. The Noahide Denim sublaws. Now, keep in mind, this is the same website. And you'll notice that this section of the website has a bunch of glitches. Like up here, there's a categories list that's not even within the box. And then over here in the corner says the plugin is not supported. And then it has a bunch of like, it looks like the website is under construction in this section. Before, not too long ago, this was not the case. You were able to find these through the previous website that I showed you pretty easily in just the like categories menu up in the top right-hand corner, up in that top bar right there. Since Congress was announced for this year, this has been hard to find. I think I was sent the link. I didn't, by no means did I find this myself. But the first one, we'll go to Law 1, Sub Law 1. Law 1 is no idolatry. So against entertaining the thought that there exists a deity except Hashem. I'm sure some of you are wondering who Hashem is. It's a good question because it is not the Elohim talked about in Scripture. It's not the God talked about in Scripture by any means. Hashem. So this is part of one of the rabbit trails you can kind of go down, and that is the name of Hashem. The Jews use Hashem as an alternative for whoever they're actually worshiping, and it's used almost as like a curse word, almost like gosh darn it. They use it in that kind of context. That's how they use Hashem. It's not in praise, it's not in worship or anything like that. It's almost as like a, like you stub your toe and then you would say Hashem. Hashem, oh, looks like, dang, Dad got kicked off again. That's crazy. But what I'm saying with this, I'll just continue on until he gets back in. But Hashem is not the name of God. I believe that God's name is Yahuwah. Some of you guys might not agree, but that's fine. His name for sure is not Hashem. Hashem literally means nothing. It's one of those words that literally means nothing. But if you go and look up the definition of Hashem, they say, oh, it's in reference to Adonai or to Yahuwah or to Yahweh or to God, whatever you want to call him. It's in reference to him, which that's the name means nothing. Hashem means nothing. And we're told to not bring Yahuwah's name to nothing. So keep that in mind. That's an issue right there. Now, by entertaining the thought that there exists a deity except Hashem, if I say if I say anything in reference to Jesus or Yeshua or to God or to Yahuwah or any of these things, that would be in direct opposition to this first bylaw of this first law of entertaining the thought that there exists a deity except Hashem. Now, let me go on down to the next one. There was another one in this first bylaw. Basically, worshiping or acknowledging the fact that there is a Messiah is going to get you killed. Now, let's talk about how specifically you are going to be killed. If we go down to bylaw or law 7, bylaw 16, actually, I'm sorry, law 6, bylaw 16, says right here that the court is to administer the death penalty by the sword, i.e. decapitation. That i.e. decapitation part, that's what they said. That's not my words. That's what they said. Dad, just to catch you up real quick, I noticed you got kicked off again, which is interesting timing. We were talking at the beginning, the law one, sub-law one, against entertaining the thought that there exists a deity except Hashem. And their reference is Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods besides me. Hashem is not in reference to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is not the same God that they are talking about. Keep in mind, all roads except for one narrow path leads to Babylon. If you start, you know, keeping that in mind while you're researching the name Hashem, you might get into some answers. So this right here.
You know, for anybody that's interested, son, I got the book down there right now. They should read Judaism's Strange Gods by Michael Hoffman.
Yes.
A Jew himself. And yes, he will tell you, like, it's called Judaism's Strange Gods. Folks, all you people that have been told the same nonsense I've been told since I could, as long as I can remember, you find out, first of all, that everything you've been told about them is an absolute, I wonder if they'll knock out the power again because that just happened a minute ago. Yeah. But anyway, read that book, Judaism, Strange Gods by Michael Hoffman. And he actually goes into the very things. Apparently, I know a lot more about this than I thought I did. he goes into this very thing. But like you said, now all of a sudden it's open season on Christians, worse than Nero could have ever imagined.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And now keep in mind okay, with that book that you were talking about, the strange gods part, you'll find out, like I just said, it'll prove that statement that I made earlier, where all roads except for one straight and narrow path leads to Babylon, all of them. So with this idea of not being able to worship anything other than Hashem, which is, you know, a false Elohim, or literally nothing, it's one or the other. It's either false Elohim, Babylonian God, or it's literally nothing. By doing worshiping anything other than those two possible categories, we're in violation of law 1 verse 1. So keep in mind, if you worship Jesus or Yeshua or anything like that, you're going to be given a punishment that is law 6, sub law 16. The court is to administer the death penalty by the sword, i.e. decapitation. And they reference Exodus 21:20. The sin shall surely be avenged, which has nothing to do with cutting heads off. No. Absolutely nothing to do with cutting heads off. Now, there is an interesting section in Rev 20 that talks about this exact moment, which I think, let me just read it real quick. It's Rev 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. Judgment was given to them. In the lives of those who had been beheaded because of the witness they bore to Yeshua and because of the word of Elohim, and who did not worship the beast nor his image and did not receive his mark upon their foreheads or upon their hands, and they lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. I think that's like hits the nail right on the head. And it also talks about like this is going to require patience, like extreme patience and like fortitude to deal with the things that we're about to deal with. And then also keep in mind, we're in violation of the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act. Article 5 made it illegal to basically say anything about this, for any media, whether it be mainstream media or alternative media, to criticize Jewish people. And then also the act that they did right in 1948, right after World War II. Article 2 forbids us from causing serious bodily harm or mental harm to this group of people as well. So keep in mind, like, this is all being, like Sandra D was saying earlier, this is all under review November 2nd through the 26th. And it looks like they might be pushing this on us before too long. Also at the same time, they're going to be talking about drafts. So this should be interesting. And then according to some people's calendars, it's not the calendar I follow, this is happening right after Sukkot or Feast of Booths. I don't know if that's any, I don't know if that's of any significance or not, but it is interesting. There was also a question earlier of which variations of the Bible do I read? I read a bunch of different options. I read the Septuagint. I read the scriptures. I read the the Berean Bible. I read like the old King James version sometimes too. Also read the Apostolic Polyglot, which is not something you like read from beginning to end. It's more like you reference back to the Apostolic Polyglot and things like that. And each word has like a Strong's and numbers for definitions and stuff like that. I don't read just from one, because I know they've all been heavily tampered, to some extent. And I think if you kind of combine and read through a bunch of the different translations, you can kind of get a better understanding of what's actually happening, or the words that are missing or mistranslated or whatever it may be. You'll notice a common theme with them, and you can kind of pick out those patterns as you're reading along. So,
It's funny that we're having this conversation, because two things happened just last week. And to me, they were a big deal. Number one, my friend Ann Vandersteel, she posted this thing and she was appalled by it. I sent it to your mom, where Trump, right there in front of a crowd, openly admits, he says, "Look, I love you Christians. I'm not one.
Yep.
But I love you guys." Okay, that's number one.
And I need you to vote. And this is the last time you'll have to vote.
Yep. And number two was Marla Maples, his ex-wife, openly admitted, this just came out, I mean, just days ago, Marla Maples, Trump's ex-wife, said Trump carries a Zohar in his breast pocket and has been forever and a day. He carries a copy or something like it of the Zohar in his breast pocket. So this dude has been a closet Chabad guy probably from way back. Folks, this just came out last week. I mean, Ann was appalled because check this out. I remember in Trump's first term, all these so-called Christians that were ministering to Trump were telling us, quote, he is a baby Christian. Never heard him say it. And I go back to that poem that he read about the snake. I've talked about it over and over and over again, folks. I told you from the day he read that poem, it made my skin crawl. Everybody assumed he was talking about Hillary Clinton. I was like, how did y'all get that? He could have very well been talking about himself. So between the snake poem, Marla Maples information, and this latest thing where Trump openly admitted he is not a Christian, for all you pastors out there that say he's a baby Christian, he openly admitted that he is not, and Marla Maples said he wears the Zohar in his breast pocket.
Dad, all of that in combination with the shot in the ear, the fake priesthood ritual he went through where there's blood on his toe. Why was he barefoot up there? Why was he barefoot on stage? And then what? Yeah. And then the whole sketchy thing where he wouldn't like show Joe Rogan the bullet hole in his ear or the scar on his ear. He stayed all stiff necked and stuff like that. Yeah. That in combination, him also saying the blood. This argument right here is also why I think that Rev 6 is in relation to COVID more than the Noahide laws and stuff like that, especially when you get into the definitions of bow and then also in the definitions of crown. If you get into those, you realize like bow could also alternatively mean there's a couple possibilities for for bow. Could also be the simplest strand or simplest ingredient in reference to potentially DNA. The simplest building block, I think, is what it could potentially be referenced to. And then also the crown, corona, things like that. And then some of the numbers that line up with the 144,000 plus what this thing is doing to your chromosomes and things like that. Anyway, that needs to be a whole different potential topic. But y'all, we're here, I think. I think we are finally at the point where things are going to start really kicking off. If you needed, man, if you aren't preparing now, I don't know what other information you need to start preparing. And if you ain't realizing and recognizing this is a battle for good and evil, I don't know what more information you need. I really don't.
Yeah, Ken and Amy said, let's see here. Let me put it up on the screen here. Just found something stating a law to allow the execution of Christians and non-Jews in America was passed in 1991. It wouldn't shock me one bit, but it's like all this stuff leaking out today. Well, not today, over the last several days, actually. All this stuff leaking out. And I'm like, folks, you better get your house in order in so many different ways. I'm not saying live in fear. But I wonder how many boomers who are still champions for Trump, even as they're shoveling these people into their graves, will say, oh, yeah, it's part of the pattern here. This is all part of the game. This guy is the biggest sellout in the history. Actually, he's nothing more than a puppet. He always was from the very beginning. People like Michael Yon said it. I said it the second day in this latest administration. I said when he gave billionaires $500 billion to drop this panopticon over us even more, I said, yep, I know exactly what this guy's all about. So, son, yeah, I think this Noahide laws thing, before years ago, I used to kind of dismiss it. I was like, I don't think this is going to happen. We see things unfolding right now. I'm not so sure. I think it's almost guaranteed to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Luke 15 talks about this exactly happening. It's here, y'all. Keep these things in mind when you're thinking about Trump. COVID happened during his time. That happened while he was president. He said, the vaccine is my blood.
Yep.
He went through a fake priest ritual. His second inauguration happened inside the Capitol, which we're aware of the raising of Osiris ceremony and ritual and things like that. Like Sandra said, he did not put his hand on the Bible. He's just telling us he's not a Christian, and this is the last time we'll have to vote. They're telling us everything. We just have to pay attention to it. the snake poem. If that ain't the red flag, you're there. We shouldn't vote for somebody who's posting that on Twitter. That's for doggone sure.
Well, this is lesser magic. This is part of what I talked to Dr. Merritt about yesterday. They got to let you know what they're going to do. Otherwise, they think there's a karmic debt for them not doing it. They're telling you exactly what they intend, but I'm not even trying to wake up the people that are just, you know, comfortably at the bottom of Plato's cave. I know that so many people will not care even as they're being shoveled into the grave. So I'm not even going to try to reach those people. I'll do my best. But at the end of the day, I think the handwriting's on the wall. I guess I could belabor this thing a little bit too much. I think we'll just leave it right there. I know we've gone over an hour, and you know, I definitely got things I got to get done, and I got some salmon to eat and some other things I got to get done too, because Mike Adams people are reaching out to me asking what's up. So got to get with them as well. Look, y'all, I know this one was off the beaten path a little bit, son. Way to go. I mean, I was wondering how we would tie all this in. I had no idea that I would have in my mental Rolodex everything we already needed. Michael Hoffman's books, Judaism, Strange Gods.
Yeah,
folks, if you haven't checked that book out, like I said, I got it downstairs. You can't borrow mine, but you can definitely get it. Read that book, and then you'll find out that these people over there calling themselves what they aren't, even look into the Holocaust. Go look that up. I'd like to know where the section is for all the Native Americans that were massacred right here in this country. Where's the Holocaust Museum for all the people that died in the Holodomor? Where's the Holocaust Museum for all the people that Mao Zedong killed? You know, the low number, about 80 million people. How about one for, Pol Pot killed a third of his people. I have never seen people get more play in my life. Don't tell me that black people complain too much. I mean, they're riding this thing that, in my view, I ain't going to say it didn't happen, but I know for a fact, if you read the biographies of Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt, not one of them mentions a flipping Holocaust, not one in their biologies. But then roll around to the 1970s, you get another story, and now we got this boo-hoo for a bunch of folks that's been going on since, what, 1945 till now, and they're still riding this thing out?
No, I don't think the boo-hooing even started till later, right? It wasn't it like 1960s or something like that? This whole, like, if I remember correctly, the
encyclopedia, son, it's not even. Yeah. Owen Benjamin did a thing the other day talking about there is no mention of any Holocaust prior to like the 1960s in the encyclopedias. So, folks, everything you've been told is a lie. Everything you know about World War I is a lie. World War II is a lie. Vietnam. You really want to get a PhD understanding about some of this stuff, go check out the work of a guy named Anthony Sutton. And, also Eustace Mullins. There's some incredible historians out there, but guess what? They were blackballed when they got and found the real documents and started telling people and writing books about it. So check out these people. You'll definitely be shocked. Son, I'm seeing the lights over here blinking, so we better bring this thing to a close. Anything else to add?
Real quick, I wanted to say that the Rabbi Menachem Schneerson or something like that, he was Ukrainian. What was it?
Schneerson.
Schneerson. Yeah, he's a Ukrainian, by the way. I thought that was interesting. And then also, keep in mind, like, the Jews that we see in Israel right now are, the Jews only consist of like two tribes, Benjamin and Judah. And anyway, never mind. I won't go down that rabbit hole. Y'all, it's here. Just pay attention and get ready.
All right, y'all. You know the tagline of this show. I mean, things are getting crazier and crazier and crazier by the day, y'all. Well, you know what? This is a welcome change for the show, for a change. So hopefully folks liked it. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Shame, watch the world spin. from the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life. Well, imagine the line, tune it to the beat, feel the vibe.